This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udana. Connecticut stayed blue in the 2024 election, but state Democrats worry about a continued decline of turnout in the cities.
Is the problem with the Democrats their policies? Is it a problem with what they emphasize and how they communicated that? Or is it a mix of the two?
That's Mark Pazniokas, Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. He's done a deep dive into why the shrinking margins for Vice President Kamala Harris in Connecticut cities this year was a jolt to an otherwise thriving state Democratic Party. More to come after this.
Behind the beautiful sounds of classical music are stories that connect us to people with unique perspectives and experiences outside our own. I'm Emily Boyer. Join me for music that draws us together. Weekday mornings starting a little after 9 on 91.1 WSHU and WSHU.org.
Hello, Mark. You say Connecticut Democrats control all the statewide elected offices and the state's entire congressional delegation. As a matter of fact, U.S. Senator Chris Murphy and the state's five House Democrats handily won re-election this year, despite a city turnout from their base that was lower than anticipated. So why the concern?
It is a funny conversation to have in one respect. You know, you're right. The Democrats are the dominant party, but there are signs of trouble in what traditionally has been an important part of their coalition, which is the urban vote. And there was a sharp drop off in the number of votes for Kamala Harris in the cities compared to the votes that Joe Biden got in 2020, or in many cases, even some of the votes that Hillary Clinton got in 2016. You know, there was a bump. 2020 is an unusual year because of the mass mailing of absentee ballot applications. So the turnout was especially high that year. But there's a broader perspective, which is the same thing is evident in the votes for governor from 2018 to 2022. Ned Lamont was reelected by a wide margin after winning election in 2018 with 49.5% of the vote. You know, there were five candidates, so that's how you could win with less than 50%. But his victory 2 years ago was a suburban victory. Again, the city vote was way down. So there is concern. What does that mean? How has the party lost touch? Is it about the machinery, about the infrastructure, about, you know, the care and feeding of a urban organization? When you're talking about places where, you know, there are poverty issues, education issues, these are places that traditionally the turnout in election time tends to be a little bit lower, or sometimes a lot lower. So the question is, what have the Democrats failed to do in several election cycles now?
You know, I covered the problems with voting in Bridgeport, and it seemed that a lot of the voters in Bridgeport are disillusioned with the whole process because of a perception that it might be corrupt. Do you think that has anything to do with it, or is it the fact that they feel that the Democrats are not speaking to them?
I think it's a whole bunch of things. And everybody I interviewed about this topic had, that was the one common answer. There's no single thing. There's something of a national phenomena, right? The exit polling nationally showed something similar. It wasn't just the urban vote, but the younger vote. Either the turnout was less, or Donald Trump got a bigger share than a Republican would normally get in the youth vote. Kamala Harris got 53%. She still won the majority, but just not by the margins that you need, that a Democrat needs to win. Same thing happened with the Latino vote. She won it, but not by the margins that a Democrat normally gets. The same is true to a lesser degree with the Black vote. Black voters still went overwhelming for the Democrat. I think it was 81% nationally. I'm sorry, 81% in Connecticut based on the exit polling that I saw.
But some Connecticut Black Democrats are concerned as well. We talked with Gary Winfield, who's he has a city constituency in New Haven, and he seemed to express some concerns.
Very much so. He is one of the Democrats who are at odds with Governor Lamont over the preservation of the so-called fiscal guardrails, you know, the volatility cap, the spending cap. And there's a real debate in the Democratic Party about how strict those limits should be. Now, on Governor Lamont's side of the argument, Connecticut has a very poor history of fiscal management, very bad reputation in the business community nationally. Because of those fiscal guardrails, the state, as they started generating surpluses, which is something we hadn't seen in a long time.
And our credit ratings have gone up, right?
Ratings have gone up. The pension debt has come down. They've done some smart things, but it's quite clear that there are, you know, significant unmet needs. The state can afford to do more. And then the question is there the right balance on those fiscal guardrails, those limits? And Senator Winfield is one of the ones who is very, very strong in his opinion that those have got to change. And he thinks that is one of many factors why the urban voters have kind of turned off by, you know, if this administration's image is fiscal responsibility, and you live in a neighborhood where you have a lot of things that you think need to be done, that doesn't exactly get you out to the polls.
So what about all the construction money that came through the Biden administration, all of that spending that the national Democrats did over the past 4 years, which Connecticut has benefited tremendously from? How come that wasn't reflected in the perception of voters?
It just didn't connect. And that's what the polling shows. And is that a question of messaging? Is it it doesn't go to what the polls have found, which is if there is this general fear of the economy not going in the right direction, even though there are some indicators that would indicate otherwise. You know, Donald Trump's campaign succeeded in getting voters to focus on things that have a more emotional impact, crime, border control. So you quickly get into this debate over messaging. Is the problem with the Democrats their policies? Is it a problem with what they emphasize and how they communicated that? Or is it a mix of the two? You know, I think most people would think, okay, it's a mix of priorities. But in this world, it's so hard to just separate out things into, aha, this is the silver bullet that will fix everything. And again, some of it is the deep poverty in some of the cities. And, you know, you've got to make the case to folks who are really struggling to make a living as to why it all matters. And that is the sense I got from some of the urban Democrats, that the party has lost its way there. Now, part of the problem is Governor Lamont is a wealthy, self-funding candidate. He really doesn't need, or he didn't need, certainly 2 years ago, that urban turnout. One of the concerns is if Governor Lamont does not run in 2026 for a third term, and you have a more traditional candidate, namely somebody who can't afford to write checks totaling $20 million or so, you're going to need every vote you can get. And as Mark DiBella, the Democratic chair of Hartford, told me, he said, this is not like a light switch. You just can't throw it, turn it back on, and it's going to start working again.
Well, they've got 2 years to try and figure this out, because we've got a gubernatorial election coming up. Is Lamont thinking of running, or where does he stand as far as running for re-election?
His official stance is he's open to it, but he hasn't decided. He doesn't need to decide, right? If you can write a check for your whole campaign, you don't need to spend 2 years raising money to get ready for it. The Democrats do have a bench of people who are willing and ready to run. So I think it's going to probably turn on how this session goes, the one that will begin in January, whether he's still in sync or he's less in sync with the Democrats in the General Assembly. And then he'll just have to decide, what it means for him personally. He's 71. He does not seem to be the guy who wants to just walk away and play golf. There are all these factors that go together. Part of it will be, what is the relationship going to be between Democratic governors and President Trump? And how difficult will that turn out to be? One of the governor's concerns are that, Trump will try to do something very radical on, say, Medicaid, which is a 50-50 federal state healthcare program. He's afraid that perhaps Trump will say, we're going to give the states block grants and then you figure it out, which means as costs go up, that means that potentially means that the feds won't continue to fund 50% of it,
And the
which
thing
could
about
eat up.
less federal funding means the state will have to come up with more money, which means the rosy balance sheets that we have right now may not be there 2 years from now.
That's true. I mean, when healthcare costs go up, they can go up quickly. And that is definitely a concern of Governor Lamont's.
So, Mark, basically, whatever the case, the Democrats have to try and figure this out in the next couple of years.
It's becoming a suburban party. I mean, if you look at Governor Lamont's victory in 2022, takes the shoreline, for example, some pretty well-to-do suburban places. A lot of them had been suburban. He won from Greenwich all the way out to Stonington, every town except East Haven, which is a real blue-collar town that has been tilting Republican, as has been a number of kind of those old blue-collar suburbs. So there is this slow realignment that's been going on.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.